That it can hear both? Oh, we gotta switch off. Talking news.
Yeah, we just don't have a mic. Yo, welcome back to the Beast Podcast. It is your host, Deshaun Beasley. Beast stands for bringing empowerment and skills together, and that is exactly what we strive to do. Just bringing you people who empower people. And today we got Muhammad Damba, my co-teacher, in the building. If you could introduce yourself, where you're from, and three things you're grateful for.
So my name is Muhammad Damba. You already said that. I'm from Guinea. I grew up in Boston. Came around like the age of 10, and
I got you.
I gotta press it up.
No, you don't.
Like I said, you know, from Guinea, came here at the age of 10, you know, all the way until adulthood, and I've just been in here for the most time, visiting sometimes. Three things I'm grateful for, you know, it has to be family first. I'm thankful for my health, and thankful to be in a position where I feel like I can grow and continue to improve year by year, day by day.
All right, awesome. And I'm thankful for you hopping on the podcast. I don't think you knew it was a podcast. Basically, so in the previous episode that I haven't recorded yet, but it will be the previous episode, I talked about my master's program. And one project that we have to do is interview a youth worker. And you work with youth. So I'll be asking you some questions. We'll freestyle off the top, but I have a list that I'm going to refer to once I find my phone, whenever that happens. But first, like, how did you become a teacher? Let's double back. What was your educational experience? What type of student were you? How did you see education? You know, talk to me about that.
I would say my education is like a roller coaster, because starting off in Guinea, I was not like naturally the top student. And right before I actually came to America, I was one of the best students, because we used to do rankings. Like at the end of the quarter, they would list and they would have number one in the class, so and so, number two. And they would literally say your ranking in front of the whole class, right? So it was like a prideful thing if you get a, you know, high ranking. So anyways, that's what it was like in Guinea. I was getting better. Then I came to America, you know, new language, new culture, less resources in terms of like, I no longer had a tutor. Like we used to have tutors, all my siblings and I. And we used to do a revision every afternoon, and the tutor would help out. So it was easier, plus my father was there and everything, which made it easy for me to be, on top of my grades, on top of my work. But when coming here, it was a lot different. It was my mom and my older siblings. And so I started not doing my work because I could get away with it. It wasn't going to be checked out often. Everybody's busy adopting as well. So I started becoming not such a good student. Went to high school freshman year. I did fine. My sister was my older sister was at the school, so it kept me in school. But afterwards, sophomore year and on, I started skipping school more, like gonna go to the YMCA, play basketball, and just not taking school seriously all the way until I got to college. And it took from me until the age of, like, I think 22, 23, I finally had gone back to Guinea, and I remember where I came from. I'm like, you know, there's a lot of people here who are less fortunate than me, and a lot of them wanted to come to America, right, in terms of opportunity, because young people graduate college over there, and they still don't really have a job or a job opportunity and those kind of things. So I became really like, you know, I'm like, I gotta come back to the U.S. and just work as hard as possible. So that's when I came back and I started taking school seriously, getting my work done, and just becoming comfortable with education. I started getting inspired by others who were actually intellectual, because before I had only looked up to athletes and people that I, you know, I wanted to be like, because I wanted to play basketball and, you know, do sport, be an athlete. But, you know, I started seeing the world in a new lens and just taking education serious, like, you know, being inspired by that kind of people who live that kind of lifestyle. Yeah, so that's my educational journey, and now I feel like I'm doing pretty well, and I think I have goals to, you know, further my education and just become better.
Okay, nice. So how do you, what brought you into education, you know, as being a teacher, you having the educational background that you did, what led you to becoming a teacher?
I feel like working with the youth is something that I've always, you know, had the passion for. Something that I've always had the passion for. You know, I would say, like, my first job was working with, like, fantastic kids. It was this, I just wanted my first job, and I used to always be at the YMCA, and this job opportunity rose where I could teach kids about fitness and eating well, you know, and, like, eating healthy. And so that was my first job. I started working with kids, and later on that summer, I got an opportunity to work at summer camp. Summer camp, I did it, like, for, I think, 2 summers. Then I got a job opportunity with the YMCA. They needed somebody to cover the Huntington YMCA after-school program. So I started working after school. I worked after school for a few years, actually, maybe a good 4 years. I went from different YMCAs and just kept doing that as I went through school. And like my last year, I did, you know, I got out of the field, like, you know, tried doing security. And, you know, I tried to be a personal trainer. You know, I did those for a little bit, but I felt like it was a lot more, you know, I had more fun, I would say, just being a teacher. Like, even the YMCA, after school teacher is not like a full-time teacher, but it had the same elements. So if I felt like it was something that I enjoyed, I had the patience for it. Therefore, after I graduated, I had the option, one, get a job in the field of, you know, psychology, like, for a few years, or, you know, do something that I know that I would enjoy, which was to be in the field of education. Plus, my brother also is an English teacher, 8th grade, and so, you know, he talked me through it, how it would be, what the steps are to becoming a teacher. And I went for it. Yeah.
Okay. Who is somebody that you admire and, like, that impacted you becoming a youth worker?
Who was it that impacted me in becoming a youth worker? I would say I've always done it naturally, but if somebody impacted me the most, the person would be my brother, because he was a teacher before me, right? And, you know, he talked through me through the schedule and the kind of things that he sees at school. He gave me a lot of great reports. Like, I know he really liked his students. You know, they got along very well. He'll tell me jokes, they were cool in class. And I thought this was all great, you know, so it's something that I'm like, I can see myself doing it. And then I was kind of doing that already, you know. But now becoming a teacher, I like it even more, because before I didn't really have, like, training on classroom management. And, you know, and I think over the years I've just gotten better at it, which makes it more fun, because it's not as stressful when you kind of have the confidence and the tools to be able to educate, you know, a classroom.
Okay. Man.
I'm trying to actually, you know what, I'll let you pick the question.
So what we did in our class, because we have this project, we decided to formulate a list of questions that we would ask a youth worker. Shout out to my YDev 501 class cohorts. So pick a question, say it in the mic, and then if you could
say a question and say it in the mic?
Yeah.
Okay, I got you.
Okay.
I would say, who do you admire in this field?
That was the question that we just actually just asked.
Okay.
You said your brother, right?
Yep, my brother. Yep, for that one. What are you getting out of doing this work? Mm. Okay. There's a few things I'm getting out of this work. I would say getting more comfortable teaching. And this is something that benefits me now. And I think about my future. You know, if I have kids, I would love to be like a good teacher to them as far as like, you know, academically and just seeing the things that the youth in school are doing, what they're into, just knowing how they are through these stages. And then I feel like when I have my own children, it'll be something that I can use for them. Also, it's really satisfying to see, you know, young minds learn something through you and, like, you know, develop relationships. No, I would say those things are things that I get out of it, because it's like, I don't know, if you like something and teaching that to somebody else, it's like it just increases that feeling. I'm sure you understand that. For example, like, you love basketball, and I can tell you love teaching basketball too, you know what I mean? I would say I feel the same way. I feel like I teach more than just math. I try to teach, like, you know, just how to behave in life, how to, you know, be a better person. Feel like that's a part of, you know, education, and something, if I don't do my best right now, it's something that I want to be able to do a better job at, and something that, you know, gives my job a meaning.
Another one.
All right. It locked a little bit.
here, you want to treat me?
Yep.
How do you feel about being on a podcast? Is this your first podcast, or what's the word? Make sure you're talking to the mic.
Rookie. Yeah, he said that. Actually, I've never been on a podcast that has a mic. I've done a podcast before.
You don't have a mic.
I've been on a podcast before, my own, but I discontinued it. I did it for like maybe 3 episodes. And it was like, it's called The Sharp Self. It was on Spotify. But somebody else's podcast I've never actually been on. And, you know, and it's interesting. You know, it's like being interviewed. I usually ask a lot of questions. So, like, now I'm thinking, like, you know, now I'm like, okay, I'm being asked the questions. And it's like a very interesting position to be in, you know?
Yeah, you do ask, really good questions.
Yeah, I do try, because I feel like, you know, being curious is a good thing. You can't know something until you ask, and, you know, and I feel like you don't know what you don't know. So it's like somebody else can tell you something that you never even knew that you didn't know. So I think that's a good reason to ask questions. What does a youth worker look like to you? I would say a youth worker is somebody, I mean, physically it could be anybody, really, you know what I mean? Anybody who likes the job, because, you know, I feel like as educators, I work at a diverse place, you know, I feel like we have different people from different backgrounds, different ethnicities, different heights, everything. So there's all sorts of teachers. As long as you have a passion for the job, it's the job for you. Youth work in general, I would say, in terms of behavior, what kind of things, what kind of characteristics they exhibit, I would say you just have to care, right? And that looks different from everybody. Some people are really calm and patient and, you know, never raise their voice to students, always seem calm and in control. There are those who have that gift. There are those who, you know, might be a little bit more, you know, short-tempered, but, you know, in a controlled manner where, like, the students know not to try certain actions in front of them. I think that's a different strategy. It's all a good place to, you know, start from if you want to be a youth worker. But I would say, as long as you have the best interests of the youth in mind, I think you are what an educator looks like.
So you feel like youth worker and educator are synonymous with one another?
Yeah, definitely. I feel like if you are working with the youth and you're putting them in the best path, you're passing on skills. I would say youth worker kind of includes educator. If educator means like a teacher, like youth worker, I would say is broader because, you know, maybe teaching them this different skill, maybe you're guiding them through, okay, this is how you do this, you do your taxes. This is what you're supposed to do to get into this college. You know, like, this is how you become a better basketball player. This is how you, you know, play this instrument. There's, like, so many things you are as a youth worker. So I feel like one includes the other. And, yeah, so they are kind of synonymous, but I would say youth worker is more like an umbrella term for educators, like, coach, all of these things.
Okay. Another question?
Damn, I keep fumbling, man. I'm like, not getting turned on. An event that sparked my interest in the field. I mean, I don't know when it started. I would say since I myself was a youth, in the summer, I've always gone to, like, either camps or, you know, field trips. I mean, I've always been around teachers, educators, mentors. You know, I've always been around people who, you know, work in the field. And then they've always seemed like good people. I don't remember too many teachers, like, being, like, harsh towards me or negative towards me. I think they were all, like, you know, had my best interests at heart, you know? So I always felt like they were good people. And so I naturally gravitated towards the field. You know, it's an opportunity. Why not become a teacher? Which is completely different. You know, you would think somebody who didn't excel in school would become a teacher, right? But, like, one thing I actually appreciate, I didn't say this earlier, but another thing that I do appreciate about becoming a educator is learning how to teach myself better. So I feel like I now break things down further, so I understand it much better because I know, okay, what if I had to explain this? And I try to teach things, even if it's not like something I know the most about, because when I try to teach things like that I'm not the best at, I'm also teaching myself, because then, and especially if the other person is knowledgeable in the field, now I get to also learn. So it's like, you know, teaching and learning are kind of like the same thing, you know, two sides of the same coin.
Very, very, very profound. Last question for me, at least. Do you see yourself being a youth worker for 5, 10, 15, lifetime guarantee?
Oh, man. So I didn't even know. He said I need the light for this. I'll be a hellfire. It looked heavy. But yeah, I was do I see myself working as an educator for the for like the next 5 years, 10 years? It's possible. I'm not like strongly against it, but I would like to be doing something else. Not because I don't enjoy the field, and not because it's like it's not a good way to pass time, but I feel like something that is well known is that educators don't make, social workers don't make that much money.
Wait, social workers?
Like, you know, when I say social work, I mean like people who work in social situations, like social, like pretty much services, like, you know, you're providing a service, you're the teacher, you're doing this for somebody else. Like in the field of like, let's say psychology, you also working with people, right? Like most of these things, you make more money in things that when you're selling goods or like, you know, things like that, or you're working on with tech or in the same field somewhere, you make more money than if you're working a social job. In that sense, like teaching is a social job. And I feel like it's a super important field, and it's our future, right? And we're teaching the next generation, so it is a very meaningful job. But I personally, my personal goals are like revolve around, you know, having a good amount of money, because at the end of the day, I'm somebody who really cares about helping the world, definitely helping my people from Guinea, you know, like because of the poverty there. I'm really passionate about being a part of the change that, you know, that the country has in its future. You know, I feel like I really am prideful about my country. I love my people, and I love the world in general. So whenever I can help, I want to do that. And I don't think I can do that with a teacher's salary. And also, I do plan on becoming more involved with the tech field and make some money, you know, open up some businesses. So I will not be able to teach for forever, but I would say my dad does own a school, and I do plan on being involved with that school, you know, helping out, you know, trying to help out the youth through that way, in a more distant way. But yeah, hopefully that answers your question.
Thanks for hopping on the pod and helping me with my project.
Ask you the same question, you know.
You want to ask me the
same question.